Texas, America, and the world. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Dale Crowley Jr. will join me in 1 hour from now. Dale, of course, for years was the voice of Focus on Israel at WFAX-AM up in Washington, D.C. Dale Crowley Jr. is no longer there. We are fortunate to have him here. Mark Dankoff's America on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Dale, among other things, is the author of a book that is well worth your time. That book is entitled On the Wrong Side of Just About Everything, But Right About It All. It's Dale Crowley Jr. with us 1 hour from now, the former voice of Focus on Israel at WFAX AM Radio up in Washington, D.C. Have a number of things to report to you this morning. The most ominous in terms of catastrophe comes to us from Indonesia. CNN is reporting that two powerful earthquakes reported in Indonesia with a preliminary magnitude of 7.8 and 8.0. A tsunami alert has been issued. This is a very, very serious matter, of course, and I have a very close personal friend who was involved with me in ministry in the Philadelphia area a number of years ago, who was a missionary in Indonesia. And in December of 2004, almost 3 years ago, there was a massive earthquake off Sumatra Island that triggered a tsunami that killed more than 230,000 people, including 160,000 in Indonesia's Aceh province. This gentleman went over there, and he was not a young man at that time, and donated a significant period of time to helping to rebuild that sector of that country. He and his wife later told me all of what was involved in that in regard to the incredibly hellish circumstances that they endured in that situation on behalf of the people of Indonesia. Lo and behold, here we are 3 years later, and there is yet another catastrophe that has befallen the people of that country. Those of you who pray, please pray for these people. I have gone through Indonesia for a very, very brief period of time, going back 35 years ago. But, of course, I am not an expert on the country or the region, but my heart goes out to them today in the wake of this catastrophe that has clearly befallen them, one that we pray can result in some good things out of what is clearly, on a present-day basis, a disaster. Number of items that we could look at this morning before Dale Crowley Jr. joins us. Dale has been very gracious enough to mail some things to me to read before today's show. I got to these yesterday afternoon in between about six appointments, and I got to read every single one of the articles that Dale Crowley Jr. has forwarded to me by snail mail. This will make up at least some of what we are going to talk about when he comes on the show from Washington, D.C. in 1 hour from now. I've isolated two articles that I think are particularly important this week that are available online. One of these two articles, dealing with 9/11, is something that I will leave until tomorrow morning. Mary Starrett will be with us tomorrow a.m. in the second hour of the show, coming to us from the state of Oregon. Many of you now know her as the National Political Communications Director of the Constitution Party. Mary has a background in Christian media, establishment Christian media, in a context and under circumstances that she no longer serves with. This gets into the Salem communications issue that Dale Crowley and I have already discussed on this show. Mary Starr was saying some things 6 years ago in the wake of 9/11 that proved to be absolutely correct, that were particularly provocative at the time. So provocative that Christian media decided it could not afford to have her as an independent voice as far as what they were doing in the Pacific Northwest, any more than WFAX-AM in Washington, D.C. could tolerate having Dale Crowley on their show. Why? The same folks involved in the same actions and false flag incidents and the same control of the news media trying to shape our minds in the days ahead. Let's stop them. This is Mark Dankoff's America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned.
Introducing the world's best air purifier. The Aeronizer produces high levels of activated oxygen right from the air you're breathing. It works the way nature does in cleaning and purifying the air in your home. Pet, cooking, cigarette, or even cigar smoke is no problem for this air purifier. It's so powerful, it kills molds and mildews as well as bacteria and viruses in the air and on surfaces in your home. Made in the USA of the finest materials with an unconditional 2-year warranty. There are no moving parts to break, no plates to clean, and no filters to replace. Call 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200. Or visit the website now, www.aranair.us. That's www.aranair.us. Again, www.aranair.us.
Catholic priest calls on Catholics and Christians to resist an unjust attack against Iran. Father John Martinez, a Catholic priest, speaks out to declare the Catholic Church's true teaching, that it would be a mortal sin for Catholic soldiers to attack Iran. In a 1-hour lecture, Father John Martinez warns about the Jewish plot to rule the world and to use the United States to ignite the flames of World War III by its satanic plan to unjustly attack Iran. He exposes that George Bush is Jewish and how Congress is controlled by the Jews. Father John Martinez gravely warns of nuclear weapons being used by the United States and the threat of the possible end of the world. For additional information on how you can help stop World War III, order Father John Martinez's CD entitled An Unjust Attack on Iran, available for $10 by Father John Martinez. Just go to www.republicbroadcasting.org and click on our web banner for the address.
The Berkeleyte's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyte, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyte is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyte, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
We're back. This is Mark Dankoff's America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Dale Crowley Jr., the former host of Focus on Israel for WFAX AM Radio up in Washington, D.C., will be with me in approximately 1 hour from now. You know what's interesting, folks? Dale Crowley Jr.'s book, On the Wrong Side of Just About Everything But Right About It All, if you look at the cover of this very fine book, and go down and look at the different topics that are mentioned here. One of them says, support the troops, impeach their leaders. Support the troops, impeach their leaders. There are some prime examples of this in the news media in recent days. Of course, we've been seeing it for weeks and months and years. But just in recent days, I think of a couple of articles that come to the fore that underscore just how bad things really are with the political leadership in this country, and how we have, as a people, have acquiesced to their usurpation of power. We have no one to blame but ourselves for this situation. How does less than 2% of the American population gain the power that they presently have in our news media, our educational institutions, our government, our foreign policy apparatus? That's a compelling question. How did that happen? Why did it happen? Who's behind it? Who has acquiesced in it? Boy, I tell you, it seems to me that when we look at the Israeli lobby and the American Jewish political scene as the center of political power in the United States and some would argue worldwide, it is a very compelling story in terms of activism, how a committed, distinct minority of people, both in this country and worldwide, have been able to exercise a disproportionate amount of influence and power. It's a fascinating political science study, if nothing else, historically. And it seems that when we look at this, a lot of it has happened because the rest of the population has been ignorant, the rest of the population has been somnolent, the rest of the population has basically acquiesced in something that has now produced the level of tragedy that it has produced for both the United States and the world. One example of this is discussed by Tom Englehart. Many of you are aware of who Tom Englehart is. He is an incredible guy, by the way. Tom and I are acquainted. We're not close friends, but we're acquainted. And he's helped me from time to time with guest recruitment for this show and has helped many other hosts around the country. Tom Englehart runs the Nation Institute's TomDispatch.com. He's the co-founder of the American Empire Project, and most recently the author of something entitled Mission Unaccomplished, Tom Dispatch Interviews with American Iconoclasts and Deserters. That is a Nation's Books publication. Tom has written something entitled Escalation by the Numbers. This is available online. If you will look for it, you will find it. Escalation by the Numbers was published quite recently as part of a series that has come out of TomDispatch.com. This is a particularly important piece, both this one and the other ones, because it underscores the difference between reality and spin, as it particularly as we watch some of the stuff coming out of Washington, D.C., in regard to the David Petraeus appearance before the Congress. If you've been following any of that at all, both in watching what General Petraeus has said and the positioning of politicians of both parties in the wake of his testimony, and then compare it with what Tom Englehart presents to us from the Nation Institute, it is an example of a leadership that has gone completely awry. It is an example of how a minority of people in the United States have managed to put together a puppet leadership that they control, much to the detriment of the fortunes of 98% of the American public. This then gets back to one of the core ideas that Dale Crowley talks about in his book, On the Wrong Side of Just About Everything, but Right About It All, the notion that we should support the troops by impeaching their leaders. That's another way of asking a compelling question. How in the world did we arrive at this particular juncture in history? How, a generation and a half after the Vietnam catastrophe, could we have allowed this to happen again, potentially with even more catastrophic results than what we saw out of the Vietnam tragedy? Tom Englehart says that someday we will undoubtedly discover that in the term surge, as in the president's surge plan or new way forward that was announced to the nation in January, was the urge to avoid the language and experience of the Vietnam era, as there were to be no body bags or cameras to film them as the dead came home, as there were to be no body counts, quote, we have made a conscious effort not to be a body count team, unquote, was the way the president put it, as there were to be no quagmires, nor the need to search for that, quote, the light at the end of the tunnel, unquote, so surely there were to be no, quote, unquote, escalations. The escalations of the Vietnam era, which left more than 500,000 American soldiers and vast bases and massive air and naval power in and around Vietnam, had been thoroughly discredited. Each intensification in the delivery of troops, or simply in ever-widening bombing campaigns, led only to more misery and death for the Vietnamese and disaster for the U.S. And yet, not surprisingly, the American experience in Iraq, another attempted occupation of a foreign country and culture, has been like a heat-seeking missile heading for the still-burning American memories of Vietnam. As historian Marilyn Young noted in early April of 2003 with the invasion of Iraq barely underway, quote, in less than 2 weeks, a 30-year-old vocabulary is back. credibility gap, seek and destroy, hard to tell friend from foe, civilian interference in military affairs, the dominance of domestic politics, winning, or more often losing hearts and minds, unquote. By August of 2003, the Bush administration, says Tom Englehart, expected that only perhaps 30,000 American troops would be left in Iraq, garrisoned on vast, quote-unquote, enduring bases in a pacified country. So in a sense, it's been a surge-a-thon ever since. By now, it's beyond time to call the president's new way forward by its Vietnamese equivalent. Admittedly, a surge does sound more comforting, less aggressive, less long-lasting, and somehow less harmful than an escalation. But the fact is that we are 6 months into the newest escalation of American power in Iraq. It has deposited all-time high numbers of troops there as well, undoubtedly has more planes and firepower in and around that country than at any moment since the invasion of 2003. Naturally enough, says Tom Englehart, other all-time highs of the grimmest sort follow. This September, General David Petraeus, our escalation commander in Iraq, and Ryan Crocker, our escalation ambassador there, will present their progress report to Congress. Progress, quote-unquote, was another word much favored in American official pronouncements of the Vietnam era. The very name tells you more or less what to expect. The report has already been downgraded to a snapshot, quote-unquote, of an ongoing set of operations which shouldn't be truly judged or seriously assessed at least until this November, or perhaps early 2008, or ... With that in mind, says Tom Englehart, here's the second Tom dispatched by the numbers report on Iraq. Consider it an attempt to put the Iraqi quagmire come nightmare, two classic Vietnam-era words, in perspective. Few numbers out of Iraq can be trusted, says Tom Englehart. Counting accurately amid widespread disruption, mayhem, and bloodshed under a failing occupation, in a land essentially lacking a central government, in a U.S. media landscape still dizzy from the endless spin of the Bush administration and its military commanders, is probably next to impossible. But however approximate the figures that follow, they still offer an all too vivid picture of what the president's much desired invasion let loose. No country could suffer such uprooting, destruction, death, loss, and deprivation, yet remain collectively sane. American civilian and military officials now talk about staying in Iraq through 2008 or 9 or into the next decade or for undefined but lengthening periods of time. And yet Iraq, by the numbers, has devolved month by month, year by year, for 4+ years. There was never any reason, says Tom Englehart, to believe that the latest escalation or any future escalation, whatever it might be called, and whether accomplished via the U.S. military or by a growing shadow army of guns for hire employed by private security firms, could be capable of anything but hurrying the pace of that devolution. So imagine what Iraq by the numbers will be like in 2008 or 9, given the clear determination of the Bush administration's so-called strategic thinkers to garrison that country into the distant future. Here then, says Tom Englehart, is escalation in Iraq by the numbers. Almost all of them continue to surge, quote-unquote, as of mid-August 2008. Number of American troops stationed in Iraq: 162,000 plus at least several thousand government employees, an all-time high. Estimated number of U.S. taxpayer-paid private contractors in Iraq: more than 180,000, again undoubtedly an all-time high. That figure includes approximately 21,000 Americans, 43,000 non-Iraqi foreign contractors, and 118,000 Iraqis, but does not include a complete count of, quote, private security contractors who protect government officials and buildings, unquote, according to State Department and Pentagon figures obtained by the Los Angeles Times. Percentage of private contractors in total U.S. forces deployed in World War II and the Korean War: 3.5%, according to the congressional testimony of human rights lawyer Scott Horton, whereas in Vietnam and the first Gulf War, that figure reached 10%. Now, says Tom Englehart, it is at least near parity. We'll be back with this piece entitled Escalation by the Numbers When Mark Dankos America returns live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network, Dale Crowley Jr. will join us at approximately 8 o'clock in the morning Central Time. Stay tuned.
True. Gold and silver have been a source of true wealth for years. In fact, people around the world have used these metals to buy and sell goods for over 5,000 years. And gold and silver will continue to be a source of true wealth for the foreseeable future. If you look back in history, you'll see that all fiat currencies have failed to maintain wealth or failed altogether. But gold has always protected its holder, a true asset, usable to anyone around the globe. As the value of your Federal Reserve note continues to depreciate, gold will be your only insurance. As an example, in 1975, you could buy a $40,000 home with 1,000 gold coins. Today, that same house is $400,000, yet you can still buy it with 1,000 gold coins. To find out more information on how to protect your wealth, call Republic Trading at 1-800-691-7898. That's 1-800-691-7898.
Pinch me, Bill. I can't believe it. A few months ago, I couldn't even afford gas for my car. And here we are with season tickets on the 50-yard line.
I know what you mean, John. I remember the day you saw my new car and asked me if I robbed Bill Gates. Our lives sure have changed since we discovered DidYouRobBillGates.com.
I was struggling to make ends meet. Now I've got a new car and a college fund for Lisa when she graduates from high school next year. And I owe it all to you because you told me about DidYouRobBillGates.com.
Hey, John, we all win when the money problems disappear. I want to tell everybody because the more people we have on the success team, the better it works. It's hard for the little guy these days. We pool our resources to level the playing field.
So the more people that go to www.DidYouRobBillGates.com, the more cash for everybody. What a concept!
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
This is Mark Dankos America coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Dale Crowley Jr. of Washington, D.C. will join us at approximately 8 o'clock in the morning Central Time. He is the former radio host of Focus on Israel for WFAX up there and is the author, among many other books, of something entitled On the Wrong Side of Just About Everything But Right About It All. And folks, when we look at the idea of being right about it all, Tom Englehart's essay for the Nation, or for the Nation Institute, under the guise of TomDispatch.com, is absolutely right about it all when it comes to the disaster of this war in Iraq. Tom's latest essay, entitled Escalation by the Numbers, is the third in a series showing the total disconnect between reality and claim when it comes to what the United States government is trying to spin when it comes to our involvement in Iraq. And, of course, the Petraeus appearance before the United States Congress is the classic example of this spin. And when we look at what General Petraeus has said as well as what he hasn't said and compare it with these Engelhardt essays, the discrepancy is absolutely painful to see and to analyze and to contemplate. This gets back into something that Dale Crowley Jr. says in the very front cover of his book, On the Wrong Side of Just About Everything, But Right About It All. One of the things Dale gets into in the way of a topic is the notion of supporting the troops by impeaching their leaders. It seems to me that there are some very good reasons to be talking about impeachment this morning when it comes to Mr. Bush and Mr. Cheney and a host of other public officials as well. A classic test case of this is certainly the catastrophe of this Iraq war and the lunacy of those who can read the Engelhardt essay on the one hand and still maintain that Petraeus is giving us the truth in any significant sense of the word, or that his point of view has any credibility left whatsoever. And keep in mind that those who have brought us the disaster that Petraeus has been commissioned to justify before the United States Congress are the same people who are planning an expansion of this lunacy into both Pakistan and Iran. Hard to believe, hard to contemplate, but folks, we live in the age of George Orwell. The age of Orwell. I think Orwell's 1984 would probably have difficulty spinning this thing the way the Bush administration and the mainstream press are still trying to spin what we're doing in Iraq. But the whole thing is starting to come apart like a cheap suit. That is, that process of fragmentation is going to continue. I believe something that Charlie Jackson, I think, was talking about a little bit in his appearance on this show on Monday, representing Texans for Peace at texansforpeace.org, and that is that if we go into Iran, that could be the straw that breaks the camel's back in terms of the coalescing of a much wider, broadly based anti-war movement in the United States, the likes of which has never been seen before in history. Getting back to the Engelhardt essay, Escalation by the Numbers. Absolutely incredible to look at these numbers and to see the percentage, the total number and the percentages represented by these private security contractors in that country. We are told now, as we continue with this essay, that when you look at the number of private companies working in Iraq on contract for the U.S. government, that has risen to 630 with personnel from more than 100 countries, according to Jeremy Scahill, author of the best-selling Blackwater, The Rise of the World's Most Powerful Mercenary Army. Next category, typical pay of a former U.S. Special Forces soldier working for a private security company in Iraq. That's $650 a day, according to Scahill, quote, after the company takes its cut, unquote. That rate, however, can hit $1,000 a day. $1,000 a day. Number of trucks on the road each day as part of the U.S. resupply operation in Iraq? 3,000. Number of attacks from June of 2006 through May of 2007 on U.S. supply convoys guarded by private security contractors? 869. A near tripling from the previous 12 months. A near tripling from the previous 12 months. Number of private contractors who have died in Iraq? Over 1,000, according to the U.S. Department of Labor, based on partial figures, because private companies do not have to declare their war dead. Predicted cost of a surge of 21,500 American troops into Iraq, according to White House calculations in January 2007, $5.6 billion, a figure offered the month the president's surge strategy was announced. Predicted cost of a one-year surge of 30 to 40,000 troops, according to Robert Sunshine, Assistant Director for Budget Analysis of the Nonpartisan Congressional Budget Office. $22 billion. 2 years for a cut rate, $40 billion. These figures were offered in testimony to Congress 5 months after the president's surge was officially launched. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. We'll take a further look at the Engelhardt essay, and then Dale Crowley Jr. will join us at 8 o'clock this morning. Stay tuned.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Eating a well-balanced diet filled with whole foods is sometimes hard to achieve, so supplementation can be beneficial. But WholeFoodToday.com believes that if you want to supplement, you should be doing so with products made from complex and natural whole foods, which the body can recognize and utilize as food, rather than with synthetic formulas of isolated vitamins made in chemical factories. Whole Food Today is dedicated to bringing you the finest health products at an incredible value. Nutrient formulas for men and women, super green food formulas made from over 30 vegetables, legumes, sprouts, immunity health formulas, coconut oil, krill oil, and many other products made 100% naturally. Visit us today at www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. That's www.wholefoodtoday.com or call 1-800-989-9840. Whole Food Today offers free shipping to all orders anywhere in the continental U.S. Whole Food Today, empowering people to attain and maintain extraordinary health.
Attention RBN listeners who have trouble sleeping. If you have tried everything and still have serious problems getting a good night's sleep, then this message is going to be the single most important one you'll ever hear, and here's why. 77 RBN listeners are needed immediately to test a new, alternative method of falling asleep fast. And the best part is, this new sleep system produces dramatic results when everything else has failed, including prescription sleeping pills. You see, it works in a whole new way, utilizing special sleep frequencies to almost command your brain to fall asleep fast. And it's easy to use. Yet, because the rules governing medicine in the U.S., no health or healing claims can be made for the sleep system. However, it's still legal to own this new high-speed sleep generator, and 77 RBN listeners are invited to use this system first, before the general public. So, if you're really having trouble falling asleep, simply go to www.highspeedsleep.com. That's highspeedsleep.com, or call 877-327-0365 and tell the operator you listen to RBN. Again, that's 877-327-0365.
Today's energy infrastructure is antiquated and fails to meet the needs and demands of its customers. Our Renewable Energy Solar Program is the first to give you the opportunity to adopt green energy in your home without having to make a huge investment. Our Renewable Energy Solar System converts sunlight directly into usable electricity where utility power and net metering are available. Our grid-connected solar electric system is designed to produce 100% of the energy consumed by you throughout the year that is allowed by net metering laws. It's finally affordable to go solar. There's no system to purchase, no installation costs, no maintenance fees, no permanent hassles, no performance worries, and no rate increases. Reserve your system today. Call 866-276-3975. That's 866-276-3975. Or click on the web banner at RBN. Rethink solar and join the solution. Together, we can make a difference.
We're back. This is Mark Antos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Dale Crowley, Jr. will hook up with us from Washington, D.C. in about a half an hour from now. I don't remember whether Dale is going to be calling in this morning or whether we're supposed to call him. And, of course, I have a new tech here at RBN, and so we're still working out those kinds of details. I have just sent our new technician at RBN, very fine person, via Skype, Dale's contact telephone number. I think Dale is going to call our studio, our special private hookup line. But just in the event that I am remembering this incorrectly, which is a distinct possibility, folks, knowing my memory, we will also have Dale Crowley's contact number available for our new very fine technician. And I've just sent that in. By the way, there are several of you who listen to this show that I owe telephone calls to, return telephone calls, or email messages. This has been a particularly busy week for me, And I know that one of you who has been trying to contact me, I have received your voicemail messages. I have been at conferences all this week and have been dealing with medical appointments for family members and dealing with crises at church and so forth and so on. I will be returning your call probably tomorrow to discuss some things that need to be discussed in a very near-term time frame based upon your concerns. Have no fear. I will call. And I take these messages very, very seriously. And whether they come to me via email, whether some of you call my special cell phone number, I will get back to each and every one of you who has contacted me in a timely fashion, or at least a somewhat timely fashion, so that we can discuss concerns and get some questions answered for you. And several of you who have promised me additional input on a variety of things, including topics and guests and so forth, I am taking all of these things under advisement and will be back with each and every one of you again in the next few days. Getting back into this whole business of the Tom Englehart essay, this is a classic example, folks, of comparing reality with spin. These are the real figures in regard to what's been going on in Iraq, not the sort of thing that Petraeus has been sharing with us for very obvious reasons. Tom Englehart, and you can find him at tomdispatch.com. If you look at his three-part essay on this whole business of analyzing Iraq by the numbers, these figures are absolutely, absolutely incredible. Let's keep going with this. Percentage of dollars annually appropriated by the U.S. government and spent on Iraq-related activities, more than 10%, or $1 out of every 10, according to the Congressional Budget Office's Sunshine. Estimated monthly cost of the Iraq and Afghan wars, $12 billion, $10 billion for Iraq, a third higher than in 2006, according to the nonpartisan Congressional Research Service. Estimated total cost of the Iraq war, if Robert Sunshine's optimistic scenario, 30,000 U.S. troops left in Iraq by 2010, plays out, over $1 trillion. If his less optimistic scenario proves accurate, say 75,000 troops in 2010, closer to $1.5 trillion. Anybody out there get these numbers? Absolutely incredible, isn't it? Number of Iraqis estimated to have fled their country. This is something, by the way, that I have talked about from time to time with Dr. Tim Morris over in London, who is with the Forced Migration Review, or FMR. That particular project is sponsored by Oxford University. It gets into the whole business of the human migration catastrophe that has been created by this war. Tom Englehart gives us the short version. Number of Iraqis estimated to have fled their country, between 2 million and 2.5 million. An estimated 750,000 to Jordan, 1.5 million to Syria, 200,000 to Egypt and Lebanon, with another 40 to 50,000 fleeing each month, 2,000 a day according to UN figures. Officials at the Central Travel Office in Baghdad, according to Tom Englehart, are deluged by up to 3,000 passport applications a week. In addition, though it's anyone's guess, more than 2 million Iraqis may now be internal refugees. Internal refugees, uprooted from their homes largely by sectarian violence and ethnic cleansing. Approximately 70% of these are women and children, according to UNICEF. Number of Iraqi refugees admitted to the United States in July, 57. 57. Only 133 for the year to date. Number of Iraqis held in American prisons in Iraq, approximately 22,500, according to U.S. military officials, a leap to an all-time high from 16,000 in February when the surge began. American prisons in Iraq, says Tom Englehart, also continue to undergo expansion. Number of Iraqis released from American incarceration in the last month, 224. Number of foreign fighters or jihadis held by the U.S. military in Iraq, 135. Nearly half of these are Saudis. Estimated number of bullets fired by U.S. troops for every insurgent killed in Iraq or Afghanistan. This gets into something that Mark Lind of the American Free Press was talking about on my show the other day. $250,000, according to John Pike, director of the Washington Military Research Group, GlobalSecurity.org. This comes out, listen to this, folks, this comes out to 1.8 billion rounds of small arms ammunition yearly. With U.S. munitions factories unable to meet the demand, 313 million rounds of such munitions were purchased from Israel last year. Israel last year for 10 million more than if produced domestically. That's an interesting thought. Percentage of amputations performed on U.S. war wounded in Iraq, an estimated 6%, says Engelhardt. The average in earlier U.S. conflicts where the equivalents of IEDs and car bombings did not play such a role was 3%. Estimated replacement limbs needed yearly for Iraqis in northern Iraq alone, 3,000 according to the Red Crescent Society and the Director General for Health Services in Mosul. Unlike American soldiers, Iraqis who have lost limbs have access only to limited numbers of outdated prostheses. Cost of a coffin in Baghdad, $50 to $75. The cost of a coffin in Saddam Hussein's time, $5 to $10. Number of Iraqi civilians who died in July of 2007, 1,652, according to figures compiled by the Iraqi Health, Defense, and Interior Ministries. 2,024, according to the tally of the Associated Press. 1,539, according to the Washington Post. All but the Washington Post claim this as a spike in casualties. All such figures are, says Tom Engelhardt, for a variety of reasons, surely significant undercounts. Approximate number of American civilians who would have died in July if a similar level of killings were underway in the United States, 18,000, according to Middle East scholar Juan Cole. Estimated number of Iraqi deaths from the invasion of 2003 through June of 2007, if the Lancet study's median figure of 655,000 deaths was accurate, and similar death rates held true for the year since it was published. Over 1 million. Over 1 million, according to Just Foreign Policy. The Lancet study, Engelhardt reminds us, has been the single on-the-ground scientific report on Iraqi casualties in these years. Number of Iraqi civilians killed in July in mass casualty bomb attacks, 378, a sharp rise over June, according to the Washington Post. The five-month U.S. surge has caused, quote, no appreciable change, unquote, in vehicle bomb attacks, according to figures collected by reporters from the McClatchy newspapers. Number of unidentified bodies, assumedly murdered by death squads, found on the streets of Baghdad in June of 2007, 453, a rise of 41% over January of 2007, the month before surge operations began, according to unofficial Iraqi Health Ministry statistics taken from morgue counts. Number of Iraqi civilians killed or wounded in escalation of force incidents at American checkpoints or near American patrols and convoys in the past year. 429, according to U.S. military statistics obtained by the McClatchy newspapers. These statistics, which spiked during the recent escalation months, don't include civilian deaths during raids on homes or in the midst of battle, and are considered incomplete in any case, since an unknown number of escalation of force deaths would go unreported by U.S. units. Total number of attacks against U.S. and coalition forces, Iraqi forces, security forces, Iraqi civilians, and infrastructure targets in June of 2007, 5,335, according to Tom Engelhardt. This works out to an average daily of 177.8, an all-time high since May of 2003, according to the Pentagon, and 46% more than in June of 2006. More than 68% of these attacks, 3,671 to be exact, were launched against U.S. troops, up 7% from May of 2007. Number of attacks in July of 2007, using the most powerful type of roadside bomb, 99, an all-time high, according to Lieutenant General Ray Odierno, U.S. second in command in Iraq, accounting for one-third of American casualties that month. Number of American military deaths in the surge months, February through July of 2007, 572, according to the Iraq Coalition Casualties website. This represents 189 more American deaths than in the same set of months in 2004, 215 more than in 2005, 237 more than in 2006. Average daytime summer temperature in Baghdad. Here's one for you, folks. Envision this one. 110 to 120 degrees, though 130 degrees is not uncommon. It rarely drops below 100 degrees, even at night. I can affirm that one. Why? When I was a young college student in the United States in the 1970s and my parents were stationed in Iran, next door Iran, I had a summer job one time when I went over there to see my parents for 3 months. I was working for the U.S. Army Motor Pool connected to the American Embassy in Tehran. We were repainting all of these American vehicles for security reasons. Ambassador Richard Helms ordered this because of the number of attacks that were taking place even at that time on cars that had American embassy markings or American governmental or military markings. So I had a summer job sanding and repainting all of these vehicles along with a handful of other college kids who were working on this project in South Tehran in this terrible place that the U.S. Army had set up as a motor pool. The average temperature was about 130 degrees down there, folks, especially because we were around all of that metal. Now, I've told you recently on the show that in the last year, with diet and exercise and drinking proper water with meals, I've managed to reduce from 210 pounds, a terrible weight for me, down to my college weight and college graduation of 173.5, and I plan on maintaining this, God willing, for the rest of my life. Why do I mention this again on the show? Because after a summer of working for the United States Army Motor Pool in South Tehran, sanding and repainting American vehicles in order to conceal, supposedly, the fact that they were vehicles connected to the United States government that were operating in Tehran, my weight went down to the very svelte 145 pounds. I really relate to Engelhardt's essay at this point. Average daytime summer temperature in Baghdad, 110 to 120 degrees, though 130 degrees is not uncommon. Number of megawatts of electricity produced daily in Iraq, less than 4,000 megawatts, below pre-invasion levels in a country where daily demand is now in the 8,500 to 9,500 range. Hours of electricity normally delivered to Baghdadis by the national electricity grid, 1 to 2 hours a day. The only recourse, according to French reporter Anne Nivat, who lived in red zone Baghdad for 2 weeks recently, is electricity produced by small local generators, which consume up to 20 gallons of gasoline a day. Number of nationwide blackouts in just 2 days in July of 2007. 4. The Shiite holy city of Karbala was without any power for at least 3 consecutive days in July, during which its water mains, quote-unquote, went dry. Here's an interesting quote from a guy named Hazim Obayed. Quote, "We no longer need television documentaries about the Stone Age. We're actually living in it. We are in constant danger because of the filthy water and rotten food we are having," unquote. Mr. Obayed sells clothing at a stall in the Karbala market. Cost of a bottle of purified water during the present water shortages. $1.60 for a 10-liter bottle, a rise of 33%. Now, many Iraqis can't afford to buy bottled water, says Tom Engelhardt, in a country where, according to a recent Oxfam summary study of the Iraqi humanitarian crisis, 43% of Iraqis live in absolute poverty, earning less than a dollar a day. Percentage of water engineers who have left Iraq, 40%, according to Oxfam's report. Similar percentages of middle-class professionals, doctors, teachers, lawyers have evidently fled as well. According to Oxfam, some universities and hospitals in Baghdad have lost up to 80% of their staffs. Number of Iraqis who have access to clean drinking water. 1 in 3, according to UN figures. In 2007, waterborne diseases, including diarrhea, the most prolific killer of children under 5, are in some areas up by 70% over the previous years. Of the 3.5 million cubic meters of water Baghdad's 6 million people are estimated to need, the amount actually delivered, 2.1 million cubic meters. Number of high-tension lines running into Baghdad that are in operation, 2 of 17, thanks to insurgent sabotage, according to an electricity ministry spokesman. We'll be back with the gravity of these figures from Tom Englehart's essay, Escalation by the Numbers, when Mark Dankos of America returns live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Dale Crowley Jr. joins us at 8 a.m. Stay tuned.
Hi, friends. Bill Bagley from Vital Basics, and I want to send you a bottle of the best-selling supplement Focus Factor absolutely free. Why would we give away a free bottle of Focus Factor? Because we know that if you try it, you'll buy it. Focus Factor has nutrients that work with your natural brain chemistry to support your memory, concentration, and focus. People all over the country say it's the best brain support supplement they've ever tried. Well, how would you like to try Focus Factor yourself absolutely free? No, we're not crazy. We're confident. Because once you try Focus Factor, you'll wonder how you ever got along without it. And that's why, for a limited time, we'll give you a full-size bottle of Focus Factor, an $85 value, free. You simply provide $4.95 to help cover the cost of shipping and handling. Call now for your free bottle of Focus Factor. Call 1-800-518-3796. That's 1-800-518-3796. Limit one bottle per household, please. Again, the number is 1-800-518-3796.
Are you looking for a one-stop shop to find all your favorite books and videos? Look no further. Northern Voice Bookstore has everything you need. Hundreds of titles, from self-defense, survival, and financial freedom, to history, politics, conspiracy, and everything you need to know about the New World Order. You can order everything you need on the web, 24 hours a day, at northernvoicebookstore.com. Or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, Post Office Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. Northern Voice Bookstore offers a broad range of different perspectives and believes strongly that the American people need alternative sources of information in order to understand the society they live in today. You won't find a better selection of books or videos anywhere. So make Northern Voice Bookstore your bookstore. Visit us online at northernvoicebookstore.com or send $2 for our latest catalog to Northern Voice Bookstore, P.O. Box 281, Wildwood, PA 15091. And make sure to tell them you heard about us on the Republic Broadcasting Network.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Dale Crowley, Jr. will join us at 8 o'clock this morning, Central Time. Dale was the longtime voice of Focus on Israel for WFAX up in the Washington, D.C. area. He's written a book entitled On the Wrong Side of Just About Everything, But Right About It All. Among the many things that Dale covers is the topic of support the troops, impeach their leaders. Folks, when you look at Tom Englehart's essay today, Escalation by the Numbers, we have not yet exhausted all of the statistics that are here. The ones that you've heard over the air absolutely underscore the disconnect between the Petraeus report and the reality of that situation in Iraq. Who is really behind the decision to go into Iraq? I think that the most compelling evidence shows that the most driving force behind this catastrophe in Iraq and with our entire Middle Eastern policy generally has been the Israeli lobby and a group of Jewish neoconservatives that have been advising George Bush and exercising a disproportionate influence in both of the major political parties in this country, Abe Foxman notwithstanding. We'll get back to that concept, of course, when we start talking with Dale Crowley Jr. this morning. Chris draws my attention, our very fine tech at RBN, draws my attention to the Drudge Report this morning and a front-page post there that indicates that Vladimir Putin has dissolved the Russian government's parliament. This, in turn, links up to an AP story by Mike Eckel. President Vladimir Putin dissolved Russia's government Wednesday in a major political shakeup ahead of parliamentary and presidential elections, the Kremlin said. This dissolution is expected to result in a new prime minister who will be seen as Putin's choice to succeed him after he steps down next spring. That's Mike Eckel's report with the AP, Associated Press, coming to us from Moscow. Courtesy of the post given to us, again, by the Matt Drudge Report. That is well worth your time. I'm in the process of sending this thing out to a couple of people who will be particularly interested. What does it mean? We will wait to see what it means, but I think one of the things that must constantly be emphasized about any Russia watching that we do, and among other things, I subscribe to a number of English-language Russian publications that are sent to me from Moscow on a weekly basis. It becomes abundantly clear that Vladimir Putin is having trouble with his struggle with these oligarchs. The oligarchs that Mark Lynn and others have indicated to me have been robbing the Russian people blind. Who are these oligarchs, and what is their connection to the government of Israel? That's a very compelling question as we try to analyze the truth or lack of truth of what the Western press attempts to tell us about Vladimir Putin. One of the things that becomes abundantly clear there is that the controversy that surrounds the Litvinenko death and the Politkovskaya death, where the Western press has been quite quick on the trigger to link Vladimir Putin to those tragedies, there's a lot of evidence that may point in a different direction. Folks, all kinds of things that we can underscore today. I'd like to ask you to consider once again Mark Lynn's appeal for support for the No More Wars for Israel conference that's to be held in Southern California the weekend of October 12th through the 14th. You can find out more about that conference at nomorewarsforisrael.blogspot.com. That's one of the things we'll be chatting about with Dale Crowley this morning. We'll be back. This is Mark Dankos, America, coming to you live from San Antonio, Texas, on the Republic Broadcasting Network. Stay tuned. With recent